As we've been studying on Sunday nights recently about the Philistines, that nation that was one of the chief enemies of the children of Israel in the Old Testament. And last week we were studying about, or finished studying about, the Philistines during the reign of King Saul, and how they were used by the Lord as an instrument to cause Saul to turn against David out of his envy. The Philistines were a perpetual enemy to Israel throughout the reign of King Saul. But David, as we had studied a couple of weeks ago, as we were saw his the great work that the Lord did through him in 1 Samuel 17 when he slew Goliath, that giant of the Philistines, which led to a great victory by Israel over the Philistines that day. And they drove them out of the land of Israel on that occasion. And so the women were singing their songs afterwards about how Saul had killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands, which provoked Saul to envy as he perceived that David was going to be the one to take his throne one day. But God had determined that would be the case. Yet Saul fought against that, the will of God, fought against the Lord in that decision that God made for the rest of his days on this earth. And rather than solving the problem he had with God by repenting, he tried to solve the problem his own way and was resisting God, and of course in that utterly failed. As David was one that throughout the rest of Saul's reign, David had occasion many times to have victory over the Philistines in various battles as God gave him those victories. And ultimately, though, Saul fell in battle against the Philistines, and that's where his life came to an end. That was in the last chapter of the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 31, where we finished our study last week. So we've seen the fall of Saul and the rise of David, who becomes the next king of Israel. But the Philistines were very central to the events that were occurring through those years, as God was using them as a means of putting Saul down and exalting David. So this continues now after Saul's death. And so tonight we want to look at what happened through David's reign with the Philistines. And actually, this is going to be somewhat brief, though we'll have several passages to look at to describe it. But what would we expect, given what we know and have already studied through this about what God had promised Israel if they obeyed him, if they kept his commandments? What would he do with their enemies? And we know David was a man after God's own heart. David did keep the Lord's commandments. And so what would we expect God to do with the enemies of Israel under the reign of King David? Well, what we would expect would be that God would be faithful to keep his promise and subdue their enemies before them, which is exactly what happened, as God had already been rewarding the faith of David going back to when he slew Goliath during the reign of King Saul. The Lord rewards David's faith throughout his reign putting his enemies down before him. But much of that, really the major part of that, takes place in the early part of David's reign, where he was fighting against those enemies all around and subdued all of them. Now, after Saul's death, it was not a smooth transition to David reigning as king over the tribes of Israel. Now, that was not David's fault. That was a fault with the people of Israel in being very reluctant or resistant themselves to accept what God had ordained concerning David, that he would be the next king of Israel. Abner was of Saul's family and was the captain of the host of Israel during Saul's reign, which is a position we would recognize as the top guy over the military. He was the leader of the army throughout the reign of King Saul. After Saul dies, Abner is still in that position, but he puts all of his weight behind supporting the remaining son that Saul had, Ishbosheth, that was alive on the earth. He had had four sons, but three of them, including the heir Jonathan, died when Saul did in that battle against the Philistines. So that was really wiped out the house of Saul, with the exception of that one remaining son, Ishbosheth. Abner supported him to become the next king of Israel, but that's not what God decided. So those efforts of Abner to support Ishbosheth lasted for a full 7 years. So there was a civil war in Israel where the house of David fought against the house of Saul, until David was accepted by all the people as the king of Israel, which is something God had accepted and made to be all the way back in 1 Samuel 16 and recognized David as such. It just took a while for the people to recognize what God had already done. Now, Judah was the first to fall in line after Saul's death. They were not willing to stand up against Saul during his lifetime. But after he died, the tribe of Judah anointed David to be king over them. And that's in 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 4, where it says, "The men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah." So that's what happened with David, and how he became king over his own tribe that he belonged to, Judah. But the rest of Israel did not accept that. It took more than 6 years, 6.5 to 7 years for that to come about. So it says in verse 8 of 2 Samuel 2 that Abner the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ishbosheth the son of Saul and brought him over to Mahanaim, and they made him king over Gilead and over the Asherites and over Jezreel and over Ephraim and over Benjamin and over all Israel. So that would be, with the only exception being Judah, who was following now David as king. And it says in verse 10 that Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and reigned 2 years. But the house of Judah followed David. It says in verse 11 that the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. So that's the actual period of time in which there's going to be war in Israel, with the house of Saul opposing David. And so Abner was the main supporter and the strength behind Ishbosheth's claim to the throne. That came to an end in chapter 3 after the war. Verse 1 of 2 Samuel 3 says, "Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker." So that's the pattern over that 7.5 years when David was king over Judah in Hebron. His position was growing stronger over time, while Ishbosheth's grew weaker. And then Ishbosheth acted very foolishly with Abner, concerning Abner, and accused him of immorality with his father's concubine, which angered Abner. And in verse 8, Abner was very wroth for the words of Ishbosheth, And so in verse 9, he says, "So do God to Abner and more also, except as the Lord hath sworn to David, even so I do to him, to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan even to Beersheba." And he could not answer Abner a word again because he feared him. So that really was the end of Ish-bosheth's weak claim to the throne of Israel. So Abner himself repented of resisting the will of God. As you can see, he recognized what God had said, and he had been very slow to accept that himself and had fought against it. But now he's accepted that David is to be the king over all Israel, and he has pledged to do his part to make all the tribes to receive David as king. And so in verses 17 through 25, he takes action. He doesn't just say those words. He takes the action. And it says, "And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, 'You sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then do it. For the Lord hath spoken of David, saying, By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people, Israel, out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies.'" So who's mentioned again? The Philistines, along with all the other enemies. But when he's summarized, none of the other enemies are named there by Abner. So who is still the chief enemy of Israel during this time, or who's recognized as such? The Philistines, very obviously. And so Abner is mentioning that, and that God had ordained that David would be the one to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Well, had they already had example of that with David through Saul's reign? Yes, they had. And so verse 19 says, "And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin," and Abner, so he went to the elders of the other tribes, and then to Benjamin. Well, why was Benjamin reserved especially there at the last of this? Well, that was Saul's tribe. So to have Benjamin to accept that no longer would one of their own be king over all Israel, but to support David, who was of the tribe of Judah, that was going to be probably Abner's most difficult task. "But he spake in the ears of Benjamin, and Abner went also to speak in the ears of David in Hebron, all that seemed good to Israel and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin." Well, did Abner have a lot of influence in Israel and among the elders of these tribes? Well, they had been following the house of Saul all these years, and throughout his entire reign, Abner had been the captain. So he was well known among all the people of the land of Israel. And so when he is putting his support behind David, that carried much weight with the elders of the tribes of Israel. So God used Abner's repentance as a means to cause the rest of the tribes to accept David as king of Israel. This was a very key moment that we're reading about here. So in verse 20, it says, "Abner came to David to Hebron and 20 men with him. And David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, 'I will arise and go, and I will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth.' And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. When Joab and all the hosts that were with him were come, they told Joab, saying, 'Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and he had sent him away, and he is gone in peace.' Then Joab came to the king and said, 'What hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it thou hast sent him away, and he is quite gone? Thou knowest Abner the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest.'" Well, that was the accusation here that was being made against Abner. And of course, Joab then slew Abner, but the reason was because Abner had killed Joab and Abishai's brother Azahel even though he didn't want to do that, but that was some years before, during that time when there was conflict between the house of Saul and the house of David. And so they were taking vengeance on Abner, and they killed him. But Abner had caused the people of Israel to accept David as king. And so in chapter 5, David was then anointed as king over all the tribes of Israel. That's how 2 Samuel chapter 5 begins. It says, "Then came all the elders of Israel to David unto Hebron and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast but thou wast he that leddest out and brought in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king in Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel." So that's when all the tribes of Israel, so this was the third and final anointing that David had, the first by God using the prophet Samuel in 1 Samuel 16, the second by Judah, his tribe, that we saw in the beginning of 2 Samuel chapter 2 after Saul died, and now here in 2 Samuel chapter 5 when all the tribes of Israel anoint him king over the entire nation. But this was merely the people accepting what God had said. And were they familiar with what God had determined and what he had spoken concerning David, that he should be king over all Israel? I mean, Abner was quoting that, what God had said, and all the leaders of the tribes of Israel are quoting what God had said. I mean, it makes us ask the question, knowing that, why didn't they already do what God had spoken, if they, having known that that's what God had said? And of course, we know that they still had their problems with their faith, but David is going to lead them in righteousness throughout the rest of his reign. And as Abner had said, David was going to be used by God to subdue the Philistines and all of their enemies, and that's exactly what happened. So let's turn to the book of 2 Samuel 8, verse 1, and then we'll go to 1 Chronicles. 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1 says, "And after this it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them, and David took Methegama out of the hand of the Philistines." And then after that it tells about the other enemies that David fought against that fell before him. So just as Abner had spoken, as God had determined, he was going to put the Philistines down under David, and that's what happened. So he smote them and subdued them. So we had read before all that long period of time through Samson and to the earlier part of Samuel's judgeship over Israel. There was a 40-year period where Israel was fully subdued under the Philistines and oppressed by them. And they still, even after that ended in 1 Samuel 7 that we studied before, they still continue to plague Israel, invading the land several times, and that we've seen especially through Saul's reign. But now David subdues them. So the tables have completely turned, and Israel is no longer in any way dominated by the Philistines or in any way under any threat by them. For the rest of David's reign, they are fully subdued under them, and that was going to last also through Solomon's reign. But let's turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 11. We'll see some more details about what happened to the Philistines under King David and how they were subdued. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verses 10 through 19. "These also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all Israel to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. And this is the number of the mighty men whom David had: Jashobeam, and Hachmonite, the chief of the captains. He lifted up his spear against 300 slain by him at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, who was one of the three mighties. he was with David at Pashmim, and there was Pashdamim, and there the Philistines were gathered together to battle, where was a parcel of ground full of barley, and the people fled from before the Philistines, and they set themselves in the midst of the parcel and delivered it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord saved them by a great deliverance. Now three of the 30 captains went down to the rock to David into the cave of Adullam, and the host of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in the hold, and the Philistines' garrison was then at Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that there would give me to drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem that is in the gate." And the three break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. But David would not drink of it, but poured it out to the Lord and said, "My God forbid it me that I should do this thing, that I drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy. For with the jeopardy of their lives they brought it. Therefore he would not drink it." These things did these three mightiest. So that is a recounting of what had happened when David was in the cave Adullam, which is one of the hiding places he had during Saul's reign. So there again, David was involved with the fighting against the Philistines, but that shows how the various ones under him obtained their positions that they held during his reign, the ones that were chief in his army. Chapter 14, 1 Chronicles chapter 14, 8 through 17. "And when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel," now this is what actually happens when he's king, "they heard about this. All the Philistines went up to seek David, and David heard of it and went out against them. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim, and David inquired of God, saying, 'Shall I go up against the Philistines? And wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?' And the Lord said unto him, 'Go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand.' So they came up to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there. Then David said, 'God hath broken in upon mine enemies by mine hand like the breaking forth of waters.' Therefore they called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And when they left their gods there, David gave a commandment that they were burned with fire. And the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. Therefore David inquired again of God, and God said unto him, 'Go not up after them, turn away from them, and come unto them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when thou shalt hear a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to battle. For God has gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines.' David therefore did as God commanded him, and they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even to Gezer. And the fame of David went out into all lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations." So who was the first enemy that was subdued under David? The Philistines. And that led to David's name being exalted among these other nations, and these other nations fearing David. And also, of course, what happened after that is those other nations, their neighbors were subdued under Israel, led by King David. 1 Chronicles 18, verse 1 says, "Now after this it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them and took Gath and her towns out of the hand of the Philistines." Well, of course, that's Goliath's hometown. So David took that. Verse 11 of 1 Chronicles 18 says, "Them also King David dedicated unto the Lord with the silver and the gold that he brought from all these nations, from Edom and from Moab and from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines and from Amalek." So as David defeated his enemies and he took spoil, he dedicated to the Lord the silver and gold that he got from those places. So we can see how David gave the Lord the credit and honored him for those victories the Lord was giving to David because of his faith in God and his obedience to his commandments. 1 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 4 through 8. It says, "It came to pass after this that there arose at Gezer with the Philistines, at which time Sibekai the Hushathite slew Sipai, that was one of the children of the giant, and they were subdued. And there was a war again with the Philistines. And Elhanan, the son of Jair, slew Lahani, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, whose spear staff was like a weaver's beam. And yet again there was war at Gath, where was a man of great stature, whose fingers and toes were 24, 6 in each hand and 6 on each foot. And he also was the son of the giant. But when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, David's brother, slew him. These were born unto the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. So that gives us a little more information about Goliath's family. So David took Goliath's city, Gath, but what else did he do when he was fighting against the Philistines and against Gath? I mean, he had killed Goliath before, and now he kills his brother and two of his sons. So these were giants that were still left there, but they all fell before David. Now the Philistines, and that's really all we have, but we can see how they were subdued under David. We don't read about them causing any trouble in David's reign. After this, they're put down. That's the end of any trouble that they caused Israel for the rest of David's reign and through that of Solomon. We next read about them, and we do see some glimpses of them through the reigns of some of the other kings of Judah when they were obeying the Lord, as was the pattern according to God's promises of the blessings and cursings, depending upon whether or not they obeyed the Lord and kept his commandments. He would either have the Philistines subdued under their kings when they were serving the Lord, or he would use the Philistines to rise up against Israel and cause them problems when they weren't. So Jehoshaphat, he was a king of Judah that was one of the few righteous kings of Judah that they had. And of course, this is after the kingdom split upon Solomon's death. And Judah followed the descendants of David as their kings, and Jehoshaphat was one of these. And 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 10 and 11, in Jehoshaphat's reign, it says, "And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Also some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and tribute silver. And the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 he-goats." So here's another righteous king, and here are the Philistines bringing tribute during the days of Jehoshaphat. Jehoram, Jehoshaphat's son, who married the daughter of Ahab, Athaliah, and he turned to follow the ways of the house of Ahab and turned away from the Lord and did wickedly. 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 16 and 17. During his time, it says, "Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and of the Arabians that were near the Ethiopians. And they came up into Judah and brake into it and carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house and his sons also and his wives, so that there was never a son left him, save Jehoahaz, the youngest of his sons." So here was one that departed from the Lord. The Philistines were paying tribute to Judah under Jehoshaphat, but then who was righteous. But then his son, who was wicked, now they are coming, rising up against Judah and taking captive of the king's own family. Uzziah, later on in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 6 and 7. He, in the early part of his reign, served the Lord and did right in God's sight and was rewarded by God for it. It tells us in 2 Chronicles 26, verses 6 and 7, that he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbaal and the Mehunims. So here again we see when the kings were serving the Lord, he subdued their enemies before them, and there's the Philistines mentioned again. Now sadly, Uzziah, after God helped him, in verse 16 it says, "When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, and he sinned against the Lord." and turned against him. So he didn't remember what the Lord had taught and also honor the Lord for the blessings that he gave him in subduing his enemies before him, including these Philistines. Ahaz, whom we all remember as one of the most wicked kings that we read about in the Bible, he was another one that we see that had problems from the Philistines because of his wickedness. This is in 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Verses 16 through 19, it says, "At that time did King Ahaz send unto the kings of Assyria to help him, for again the Edomites had come and smitten Judah and carried away captives. The Philistines also had invaded the cities of the low country and of the south of Judah and had taken Beth Shemesh and Ajalon and Gederath and Shaco and the villages thereof. And Timnah and the villages thereof, Gimzo and the villages thereof, and they dwelt there. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord." Well, Ahaz was wicked, and that's what happened. So the Philistines rise up again. Well, then Hezekiah, Ahaz's son, was righteous. And what happened to the Philistines under his reign? Well, if we can go back to 2 Kings chapter 18, we read in verse 8 of 2 Kings 18 what we would expect to read. Hezekiah, speaking of him, it says, "He smote the Philistines even unto Gaza and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city." So as God had said long before, going back to what we'd read previously in Judges chapters 2 and 3, he let the Philistines as a snare for Israel when they did not obey him. And he frequently raised them up to be an enemy against them and to defeat them when they were disobeying the Lord. Yet when they did obey the Lord, the Philistines were put down by God under them. Now, ultimately, God brought a final destruction upon the Philistines, that nation. And this happened at the time that he rendered judgment against the other nations around them, around Israel, including Tyre and Sidon, and Ammon and Moab and Edom, the Philistines, all of these nations around Israel's territory. And Judah herself also fell. This was under when Nebuchadnezzar was ruling over Babylon. And he invaded that land, and all those countries fell before him. And that was when Jerusalem fell also. And only a remnant of the children of Judah survived and were carried away captive to Babylon, where they were for 70 years. But God brought an end to all of those nations around them, around Israel. And so that's the end of what we read of those nations, Edom and Ammon, Moab, the Philistines, those nations of the Old Testament that had been there for all those years through Israel's history. By the time we read in the time of Christ, there are no Philistines around anymore. There's no nation of Ammon or Moab. Well, there hadn't been for several centuries then, since Nebuchadnezzar. And this was something that God foretold through the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 25, when he was warning his people how they were going to drink of the cup of God's wrath for all of their wickedness. And he was going to, and it was going to be Nebuchadnezzar that God was going to use to do this. He said in verses, starting in verse 8 of Jeremiah 25, to his people, he says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and perpetual desolations." And he goes on to mention through the rest of this chapter in detail all of these different lands, their cities, their kingdoms that were going to fall. And among them, of course, we're going to read in verse 20 about the Philistines. He says, "And all the mingled people and all the kings of the land of Uz and all the kings of the land of the Philistines and Ashkelon and Azrah and Ekron and the remnant of Ashdod," those Philistine cities he mentions there, "they were going to drink of the cup of God's wrath for all of their wickedness, and they were going to be utterly destroyed." It was going to be utter destruction. They were going to be put out of existence as a nation. Jeremiah chapter 47 is a short chapter, 7 verses long, that is about God's coming judgment of the Philistines, destroying them at the hand of the Babylonians. It says, "The word of the Lord," this is Jeremiah 47, "the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Philistines, before that Pharaoh smote Gaza. Thus saith the Lord, behold, waters rise up out of the north and shall be an overflowing flood and shall overflow the land and all that is therein, the city and them that dwell therein. Then the men shall cry and all the inhabitants of the land shall howl at the noise of the stamping of the hoofs of his strong horses, at the rushing of his chariots and at the rumbling of his wheels. The fathers shall not look back to their children for feebleness of hands, because of the day that cometh to spoil all the Philistines and to cut off from Tyre and Sidon every helper that remaineth. For the Lord will spoil the Philistines, the remnant of the country of Caphtor. Baldness is to come upon Gaza. Ashkelon is cut off with the remnant of their valley. How long wilt thou cut thyself? O thou sword of the Lord, how long will it be ere thou be quiet? Put up thyself into thy scabbard, rest and be still. How can it be quiet, seeing the Lord hath given it a charge against Ashkelon and against the seashore? There hath he appointed it." Very graphic description there. I'm going to mention here, as we're out of time, prophecies, similar prophecies that God gave through many of the other prophets that we have in the Bible. Ezekiel chapter 25, verses 15 and 17. Amos chapter 1, 6 through 8, the book of Obadiah in verse 19 of that one chapter book. Zephaniah chapter 2, 5 through 7. Zechariah chapter 9, 1 through 8. Through all these prophets, the Lord repeated that judgment to come, or recounted it as within Zechariah. But the Lord promised to bring that destruction on the Philistines. That was the ultimate judgment for all of that wickedness that they had done for all of those years. And they came to an end as a nation. And that was God's judgment upon them. So the Philistines stand among those of the ungodly that God judged for all mankind to remember that he does know how to reserve the unrighteous unto the day of judgment to be punished. So that concludes our study about that nation of the Philistines. This is an opportunity for us, when we think about them or study about them, as with so many others, to think about the righteous judgments of God. And we know in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, or chapter 2 and verse 9, 2 Peter 2 verse 9, he says, "And the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to deliver the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." God knows how to do that. And the Philistines are an example of how he knows how to reserve the unrighteous to the day of judgment to be punished. But we can learn from that how we should not, must not follow the paths of wickedness. But God does know how to deliver us out of temptation. And so we need to seek him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, that he will bless us and give us a victory over our enemy, our adversary, the devil, just as he rewarded the faith of David and Jonathan and all those other righteous ones over their enemies that we read about in the Old Testament, including those Philistines. Tonight is an opportunity for you, if you're here and not yet a Christian, to come forward and repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, or to come back to the Lord if you've gone astray from him. We're encouraging anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation at this time to come forward now as we stand together and sing.